Well, it has been just an enjoyable weekend for me here with you all. I want to thank you again for having me in your midst, for receiving me. I do come in the name of the Lord and do desire that what the Lord has done in me and doing through me is of benefit and does edify the body of Christ. And I want to thank you for connecting and opening up your hearts to me. I said last night, and I'll just say it one more time, even beyond me leaving here today, if you want to continue to follow what I believe the Lord is saying, things of that nature, you can follow us, Jeremiah Johnson Ministries on Facebook, or you can go to jeremiahjohnson.tv on a website. We also have a growing partner base, folks from around the nation that sow financially on a monthly basis into Jeremiah Johnson Ministries. We have everything from monthly partner conference calls where I get on the phone with our partners and share what I believe the Lord is saying for that month. We have a monthly newsletter that comes out. We also do a yearly partners trip to Israel. I take all our partners to Israel every May and do a prophetic tour over there. I promise you, it's very unique in nature. We also have a partners conference every year in November in Lakeland, where I'm based, and we have a partners luncheon just for our partners. This year, our speakers are Lance Wallnow, a good friend of mine, Dr. Michael Brown from the Charlotte area, and Lauren Sanford. So if you want to become a partner or learn more, just go to that website, jeremiahjohnson.tv, for more info. All right, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to be doing part two of the handout. Everyone should have a handout. If you don't have it, just lift up your hand and I'm sure they can get one to you. Justin and the team here asked me to come in and lay some framework and some groundwork for the prophetic ministry. And I'm going to be teaching on the prophetic this morning and perhaps ministering to some as we have time. But we're going to look at two passages of Scripture and go through your handout. I have a great desire to help prophets and prophetic people, intercessors, even church leaders, create environments where the word of the Lord is cherished, it's respected, it's honored, but also where prophetic ministry has accuracy, it has accountability, and we're going to look a little bit about that. So anyone else doesn't have a handout, it's fill in the blank. Anyone else need one? Okay. So these two scriptures, they're down at the bottom of the first page, but we're actually going to look at the scriptures and then go through the handout here. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, open up your word to us. Father, give us grace that we might open up our hearts to what your Spirit is saying this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Says, therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing. One more time, therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing. I found it interesting, even in the book of Hebrews, when it talks about not forsaking getting together. And then it says, encourage one another as the day of the Lord draws near. How many of you know that one of the main reasons why you're here this morning in community is to encourage one another? I want to encourage you, don't leave this place. Don't come to corporate gatherings and not seek to encourage and build up one another. Verse 12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And so here we have an encouragement, we have an admonition to be nice to your leaders. Everybody smile at me. To encourage them, to know those who labor among you. something that we should esteem ourselves very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. And then I'd like you to jump over to verse 19. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Now let's look more closely here at verse 19. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Let me give you a couple translations here. Do not suppress the Spirit. Do not stifle the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Never dampen the fire of the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not dampen the fire of the Holy Spirit. Do not suppress the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can. Do you know that you can quench the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know in Acts 7, we know that you can resist the Holy Spirit? People kind of have this mindset when it comes to the Holy Spirit, like, well, he'll just do whatever he wants. No, Holy Spirit comes to partner with you and I and requires things of us. How do we quench? How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, let's think of this thing. It's like a cancer. It's called bitterness. It's called unforgiveness. It's called division. It's called despising prophecy. In places and regions and denominations and areas where they despise the prophetic utterance, they're actually quenching, they're stifling, they're suppressing the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at this in 20. It says, do not despise prophetic utterance. Let me give you some more translations. This is what Charles Spurgeon says. Do not despise the Holy Spirit's operations, either in yourselves or in the brethren. Do not quench Him either by neglect or by open opposition. Do not scoff at prophecies. Do not despise them. Do not count them as worthless. Do not have a zero value on them. Do you value prophecy? Do we value the word of the Lord? Does it have significance in our lives and in our gatherings of believers? Do we scoff at prophecy? Are we skeptical? Do we make fun of it? Just asking rhetorical questions. But let's look at verse 21. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. When it says here to examine everything, this Greek word means this: not only to test everything, but determine the genuineness or value of something. That which has been tested is demonstrated to be genuine and trustworthy. And I love 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 because I believe it provides balance. Can you say balance? We've talked all weekend about our culture in America, especially in the church, is fighting extremes. We're always fighting extremes. You have your hyper grace camp, where grace is a license for immorality and sin. And then you have over here your hardcore truth camp, where you get into legalism and rigidness. Can I tell you that Jesus was full of grace and truth? Do you know that the Spirit must be married to the Word? You don't have to choose one or the other. It's actually both and. But it's true to say to find a church or to find a person that's balanced in both the Word of God and the Spirit of God is rare. Because what you see is either over here you have a total free-for-all, there are charismatics, and then it's what I call charismania. I don't know if anybody but me has ever been in charismania, but there's charismania and then there's charismatic. There's do not despise prophecy, do not quench the Holy Spirit, don't shut Him down, but there's also examine everything. Don't let everything fly, don't let everything go and just say amen. In some circles, I could preach mayonnaise died on the cross for your sins, and people would say, amen, brother. In some places, there's such a love for prophecy and the supernatural that somewhere in the midst of it, we've missed Jesus. And so here, Paul is instructing the saints at Thessalonica, hey, don't despise prophecy. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't shut Him down, but I want you to examine everything carefully. Be good Bereans. I love the Bereans. Do you know about the Bereans? They were a group that Paul, the great apostle, the man who wrote most of the New Testament, I love these guys. They come and Paul comes and he preaches the Word of God, and guess what? They didn't swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. These guys actually went home and studied to see if what Paul was saying was actually true. You know how much deception there is in the American church because people don't know their Bibles? There is such a dearth and a lack of discernment among the people of God because we don't even bring our Bibles to church. Because so-and-so preaches, has a platform, has a following, has 500,000 likes on Facebook, has a multi-million dollar church. Anything that they say is gospel. Can I put a big... Listen, the American church is being swept away into false doctrine and teaching and behavior that is contrary to the Scriptures because we don't have good Bereans. So I'm all about the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of the Lord, but it's got to be built upon the Word of God. My life is not governed by prophetic words. My life is governed by the Bible. I've given prophetic words all over the nation to people that go like this. The Lord says, read your Bible. I don't know what it is about prophetic people and prophets, but somehow we've missed this. We're just blown about by the Spirit and running around. And when you ask somebody, brother, where's that in the Word of God? They either can't tell you or they're going to give some scripture and twist it out of context. And so what I'm calling for, what I'm exhorting us, what I'm encouraging us is clearly laid out in Scripture. We have precedence for not quenching the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. We need the Word of the Lord, but we must also examine the Word of the Lord. Amen? So you're going to want to get connected to prophets and prophetic people that actually invite you to judge and test what they say. You don't hear that often, right? When's the last time you heard a famous preacher stand up and preach a word and close the service by saying, "Why don't you go home and check your Bible to see if what I just told you was true or not?" That's a man or woman of God. Amen? All right, last scripture here, 1 Corinthians 14. We've got to have accountability in this hour. We've got to have connected with one another. 1 Corinthians 14, 29. It says, and let two or three prophets speak, and let everyone accept everything they say. No, it says, let everyone pass judgment. Wow, that's in there. See, back in the day, the favorite scripture of the generation used to be John 3:16. Now it's do not judge. Let's, you know. It says, but if a revelation is made, another who is seated, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that you may learn and all be exhorted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Here you have again balance. It's saying, let the prophets speak. Don't despise prophetic utterance. We need the Holy Spirit in the midst of the congregation. But guess what? We don't have license for what I like to call loose cannons. Listen, people that tell you, I'm only accountable to God, danger. We have prophets and prophetic people in America just flying around, blowing in and out like seagulls, dropping into churches, vomiting on everyone, flying out as fast as they flew in, and they're damaging the body of Christ. I can't tell you how many churches, how many pastors and leaders I minister to every year where their experience of the prophetic is not edifying. It's not fruitful. It leaves a horrible wounding on their soul that doesn't need to happen. You have in the old covenant, prophets were singular voices of God to the nation. They blew in and out, that kind of thing. But now we're under the new covenant where we have this guy named Jesus who is the mediator between God and man, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Jesus said in John 14 and in 16, the Holy Spirit will show you what is to come. So I believe it's a violation of the blood of Jesus, of the blood of the new covenant, to intentionally seek prophets out for a word from God. I believe it's a violation of the new covenant, the shed blood of Jesus Christ in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to put a prophet in a place where only Jesus and the Spirit belong. But I can guarantee you most prophets would never tell you that. Because in order for us to make a living, we have to get you to be dependent upon us. How are we doing? We've created this codependency upon prophets. Listen, the role of a new covenant prophet is not just to prophesy, it's to teach you how to prophesy. It's to open up your ears. It's to open up your eyes. It's to connect you with the Spirit of God. The new covenant says, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. The blood of Jesus bans feeding tube Christianity. How we doing? So prophets aren't allowed to blow in and out anymore. Prophets and prophetic people are part of the body of Christ. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. For revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that you may all learn and be exhorted, and the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets. If I could just simply narrow it down, I would just say this. Dangerous prophets and prophetic people have two things in common. Dangerous prophets and prophetic people have two things in common. Number one, they're not part of community. And number two, they have no accountability. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them all over the body of Christ. Dangerous prophets and prophetic people have no community. They are not connected to a community of believers. And number two, they have absolutely zero accountability in their life. All right, Roman numeral one. Here we go. Common prophetic paradigms. There are two basic understandings of prophecy in the church. Neither one of them represent healthy and mature prophetic ministry. A, they reject prophecy altogether. This paradigm discredits the use of prophecy based off of their understanding of the Bible. They use teaching, preaching, and Bible study as the only acceptable methods of how God communicates to His people. Teaching, preaching, some of us are thinking of denominations or people, that whole thing. Only acceptable. I always tell people, God didn't write a book and then lose His voice. B, prophecy free-for-all. Here comes the charismania. This paradigm allows anyone to share freely, regardless of character, relationship, or background. Any attempt to request further explanation of a prophecy or word that is under observation is seen as an insult. Now, you have these people who see nothing wrong with walking into some random church and wanting the microphone so that they can give their prophecy. Here's my question. Would you let somebody walk into your home and have access to your children if you didn't know them? A lot of prophets and prophetic people, they get mad at church leaders. Well, brother, you're quenching the spirit. The Bible says, Don't despise prophecy. I have a word from the Lord. And the church leader is like, who are you? Do I have relationship with you? Do I know your character? Do I know? And this is, again, one of the earmarks of prophetic people that are immature. They don't do relationship well. Most prophetic people and prophets just want to fly in and out and go back to their cave. Can I tell you, old covenant. Under the new covenant, prophets and prophetic people are now part of the body of Christ. We are not an island of revelation unto ourselves. We've got to stop looking down on pastors like, well, brother, you just can't hear from God and I can. We've got to get beyond that and we've got to seek to build relationship, establish trust, know those who labor among you. An entitled person just walks in and just thinks that they deserve, it's their right to stand up and belt out a word from the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's a privilege to be a mouthpiece of the Lord. It's an honor to be able to, in some way, edify the body of Christ. But we've got to get over these free-for-alls. I've always told people, freedom does not mean free-for-all. The spirit of Jezebel in the church wants freedom so that they can move. But the spirit of an Elijah in a church wants freedom so that God can move. See, I talk to disgruntled, upset, prophetic people, intercessors all the time, and I automatically, over the years, I just put them into two groups. You either have prophets and prophetic people and intercessors, they're upset in a church, and it's either one of two things. They're either upset because, one, they really want Holy Spirit to move, and that's good. But then you have another group of people. They want, really, they're wanting God to move is, give me the mic. I want control. Everybody sit down and shut up, and I'm going to tell you what God is saying. Can I tell you, God wants to deal with that behavior? Not every church leader is a Saul. Not every church leader is a Pharisee. Can I tell you what I believe God wants for Restoration Fellowship and even Pagosa Springs is balance. I believe that God wants to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit and His gifts, where prophecy can flow. But guess what? There's going to be riverbanks. There's going to be boundaries. There's going to be protocol. There's going to be order. There's going to be function. But we can already begin to separate those who are rebellious, those who are arrogant, those who have a spirit that's not of Jesus in them when they start bucking authority and order. If you are a prophet or a prophetic person and you have a problem with authority, accountability, and community, it is a heart issue that God wants to begin to deal with you on. How are we doing? We must conclude that the answer to the misuse of prophecy does not mean no use. And again, where I'm coming from, I know some people have had great experiences in the prophetic, but I'm just telling you, for me, as someone who ministers in 35 to 40 churches every year, 9 out of 10 churches that I go to have been terribly wounded by prophets, intercessors, and prophetic people. And ultimately, what a lot of people don't realize is one of the main reasons why the pastoral team has shut down the Holy Spirit is because someone has already come in and wounded them. I was in Jerusalem several years ago, walking by a cafe, and there was a man and his wife sitting down at the table that the Lord had given me a prophetic word for. And so I walked up to them and gave them the prophetic word about how the Holy Spirit was going to pour Himself out upon them and these kinds of things. And they just looked at me in shock. You know, you couldn't tell whether they were going to punch you in the face or not. I mean, it was just kind of like... And I got done, and they just looked at me like I was crazy. And the guy said, "Do you have a card?" I'm like, "Yeah, here you go." So 6 months later after that, I get an email, and it's this guy, and he said, "Hey, I'm so-and-so. I pastor a mega church in Michigan. We've got about 10,000 people. We run 5 services on a Sunday." He said, "When you prophesied to me, a wound that I've been carrying for 20 years was reawakened." He said, "I was wounded by a prophet." Listen to this guy's words. "I was wounded by a prophet 20 years ago, and I quote, I've been shutting down the movement of the Holy Spirit in my church ever since." Now, obviously, this man is going to have to, he could have got over it, he could get healing, blah, blah, blah. I'm not solely placing blame or emphasis on the wounded prophet. I want you to please hear me. But I'm trying to give you real life examples of this one man who God had given tremendous influence. Saints, 10,000 people every Sunday are not receiving from the Holy Spirit in His ministry because this one guy had a bad experience with the prophetic. Do you know that inside sources say that President Obama was open to the prophets in America his first term? But they began to prophesy to him such bogus stuff that never came to pass that he refused to let them in during his second term? The latest book that I just co-authored with my prophetic father, Lauren Sanford, it's called The Micaiah Company. It's all about how many more prophetic words are people going to give in the body of Christ that never come to pass. I mean, I could literally stand up here and give you the top prophets in America that have prophesied for years, events, presidential campaigns, all these never happened and no one ever repented. You can't find anywhere on the internet where someone was so bold to say, "You know what? I missed it. I'm sorry." And it's because of the lack of accountability, the lack of maturity and healthiness in the prophetic movement that so many people are turned off to it. And what I want to encourage you is, God's not desiring to shut down the prophetic movement in America, but what He's after is this. He's about to clean it up. He's about to purify the wells. He's about to bring healthiness and wholeness and balance to this ministry that God so desperately wants to release among the saints. Flip over to the next page, Roman numeral 2. So I want to give you practically, whether you operate in the prophetic or maybe you're around prophetic people, but practically, here are five signs that I've come up with of what it means. And again, please hear my heart. I'm after maturity. I'm beyond just people being enamored that they can prophesy. My question is, how can we grow in the gifts that the Lord has given us? So let's look here. A lifestyle of accountability and healthy mentoring, fathering, mothering is required to operate at high levels consistently in the Spirit. Remember, non-accountable relationships mean that we develop a life in God without applying truth to ourselves. We can never be in control of our own accountability without being soft on our own immaturity and carnality. Here are five ways to grow in maturity as a prophetic person. Number one, seek constant feedback from the prophecies you give and have a hunger for personal input from leaders. Immature prophetic people view input from leaders as unbelief, disregarding the Lord, or raising your hand against God's anointed. It's okay to give somebody a prophetic word and to ask them, was that right? Was that on? I was doing a meeting a couple of months ago with a guy, and he stood up this woman and he brought her forward, and this guy's a big name guy. Lots of money, huge influence. He stands this woman up and brings her forward and says, the Lord says that your sister is struggling with sickness, and on and on and on. And this woman looks at him and says, sir, I don't have a sister. And he says to her, shut up, sit down. How dare you raise your hand against the Lord's anointed? Made her look like a totally embarrassed her in front of a crowd of people, rather than, hey, it's all right, you missed it, buddy. All it's going to do is hurt your pride. You stepped out, you missed it, that's all right, let's keep moving forward. But instead of trying to get feedback, trying to get fruit, trying to be edifying to people, he doesn't even ask for feedback, and then he goes back and covers his track. So I want to encourage you. How many people you're stepping out into the prophetic in some way? Raise your hand. You're trying a dream, a vision. You're sharing a word. I want to encourage you. Seek to grow in maturity. And how you do that is ask people for feedback based off of what you told them, and be hungry for personal input from leaders. Is that good? Number two, develop a solid track record. Develop a solid track record with regard to accuracy, humility, and teachability. Immature prophetic people use their gifts for their own promotion and tend to be super spiritual people who act like they have an exclusive relationship with God, which somehow renders them outside of correction or challenge. I don't know about you, but there are two people in my life that have been prophesying to me for years. They have an established track record with me where they're on. Because they're on and they have a track record and a history with me, I open myself up to, if you have a dream or you're telling me God is saying something, I'm really going to listen and pay attention to that. But if I don't know somebody, if I don't have a track record, if they're coming to me in pride and arrogance, I'm going to kind of have my walls up a little bit and I'm going to say, I need to examine what God is saying. In corporate settings like churches, if you're a prophet or a prophetic person, I want to encourage you to develop a track record of humility and teachability and accuracy. Is what you're saying coming to pass? I mean, here we are, you know, I guess the world's going to end in September again. Listen, I'm telling you, these people should be rebuked. They should be exposed. There is no way that the body of Christ should allow prophets to instill carnal fear and all this junk into the body of Christ, and we still buy their books. We still support their ministries. We still follow them, and well, maybe they'll, you know, one in 25 prophecies come to pass. Beloved, I'm not necessarily saying people have to be 100% all the time. I mean, I believe that none of Samuel's words ever fell to the ground. But all I'm saying is if people miss it, have the courage and the humility to say, I missed it. I repent. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to the Lord and figure out what is it that I missed. But let's have an accuracy, a track record. Three, earn the privilege to prophesy in public meetings by your Christ-likeness. Immature prophetic people are prone to outbursts of anger and often have little remorse for their actions. They have a victim mentality when challenged and justify their poor behavior rather than address it and be transformed. Prophetic people are called to be disciples of Christ. Prophetic people are called to carry all aspects of the character and nature of God. This thing that's been going on in the body of Christ where people think of a prophet and they think of like a John the Baptist, Elijah, angry, ticked off, walking into churches, rebuking pastors and leaders, pouring hellfire on the saints of God. We've got to do away with that, beloved. Even if you have to give a hard word, it must be done in love. It must be sought to be somehow redemptive, somehow filled with hope. But guess what? A lot of these people flying around doing this, they have no accountability and they're not in community with anyone. Therefore, they don't have to learn how to love themselves. They don't have to learn how to love one another. And God wants to bring healthiness to this. He wants to bring, listen, if you're a prophetically gifted person and your marriage is a wreck, you're a man and you can't even love your wife, it's probably not a good idea to come to church and expect to be given the mic to belt out a prophecy every Sunday. I don't know why this doesn't connect. I've ministered alongside of men prophetically, literally, they couldn't manage their money worth a lick. Their marriage is a wreck. None of their kids are serving the Lord, but they want to get up and rebuke the body of Christ for not pursuing God with all their heart. And I'm looking at them like, have you looked in the mirror? I told this one guy, I said, brother, I'm not doubting you're hearing God. What I'm doubting is if that word's for the body. I'm telling you, that word's for you. Four, be sensitive. to any form of personal manipulation and control in the words you release. Test the spirit of your own prophecy. Apply the test to your own word before you release it. Immature prophetic people use their gifts for their own personal gain, including influence and financial increase. They always have an agenda and need their filter purified. I see prophets and prophetic people do this all the time. I call it self-serving prophecy. They're using the gifts God has given them for their own benefit and gain. It's rare to meet a person that will prophesy to you and not expect anything in return. We've got to check our motives and the attitudes of our hearts. Number 5, the outcome of your prophetic ministry in a body of believers is not to be seen as a threat or liability, but as an asset and tremendous blessing from the hand of the Lord. Immature prophetic people rarely build relationships of any worth or value. They minister on their own rather than in the godly confines of a team of people dedicated to a common purpose. When believers, when pastors and leaders, when people hear prophecy, prophet, prophetic ministry, they should rejoice. They should say, thank God for a group of people who are ready to edify, strengthen, and comfort the body of Christ. But you know what's happening in a lot of places in America? You say prophet or prophetic people, people are going to run. They're going to run the other way. They're going to... Beloved, let it not be so. Let each one of us seek to encourage. Let each one of us seek to build up, to strengthen. You know what I found about the prophetic is, the prophetic, it stirs up the anointing in people. When you start encouraging, when you start strengthening, when you start comforting the people of God, they begin to become alive. They step into their divine design. When we begin to love people rather than judge them, listen, it doesn't take a prophetic person to recognize what's wrong with the church. I mean, many prophetic people think they're operating in discernment, and all they're operating is in an accuser of the brethren, a critical spirit. See, a spirit of discernment seeks to restore. A spirit of discernment seeks to heal. But the accuser of the brethren, a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, that comes upon so many prophets and prophetic people, it seeks to destroy. It seeks to tear down. It seeks to bring division. And that's so far from the heart of God, it's unbelievable. So I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray over our hearts. I want to pray over what I call our filters. I want to pray that God would come and purify us. I want to pray for some of us that need to break ties with bitterness and unforgiveness toward the church and its leaders. Some of you are holding grudges and resentment toward pastors and leaders, toward past church experiences that are clouding, that are contaminating, that are bringing impurity into God's desire in His heart for you to use you as a prophetic vessel. I believe that there's healing here this morning. I believe that there's cleansing here this morning. I believe that there's an army rising in America. There's a new prophetic reformation that's coming. And it's going to be full of people ready to bless and encourage, rather to speak good rather than evil. But it all starts with us in our own heart. I don't know what you've experienced. I don't know what you've been through. But could we humble ourselves this morning before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want your spirit to flow through me like a river. But if there's bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in my heart toward people, toward the church, beloved, even being racist, even all these things, they hinder the Spirit of God flowing and using us. And I don't want to share my opinions with people. You know, one of the things I've realized about prophetic ministry is God doesn't really care about what I think. Hello. Oh, I've had this happen to me time and time again. I'm thinking like I'm mad at somebody. I'm convinced God's ready to call down hellfire on them and rebuke them. And God gives me a word and says, I'm about to pour out my blessing and my compassion and my mercy. And I'm thinking, no way. And the Lord's like, yeah, that's why I'm God and you're not. But beloved, it can happen to any one of us. Any one of us could get in the flesh. Any one of us could be harboring things that are not of God and say things by a thus saith the Lord that he never said. So let's just bow our heads this morning and stretch out our hands to the Lord. And I just want to pray over Restoration Fellowship. I want to pray over Pagosa Springs. I want to pray over each one of us this morning. Father, we just come before you this morning. And God, I ask, Lord, that you would purify the prophetic anointing in this city. God, would you purify the prophetic wells of the Church of Pagosa Springs. I just see this in the Spirit. This has been a city of extremes. This has been a city of free-for-alls where people have been hurt by people saying the Lord said this and he really didn't. And then I also see places where they shut down the Lord and he couldn't move if he tried. And so, Lord, we pray today that balance and even a plumb line would be dropped in Pagosa Springs. Lord, we say, let the Word of God be married to the Spirit of God in this city and even in this church. Lord, we pray for an anointing to rest upon your people that is matched by character. Lord, we pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow and let them be met with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let the gifts and fruit be married. Let the Word and Spirit be married. Let grace and truth be married. Lord, we want it all. Father, right now, Lord, I ask for grace for any bitterness, any unforgiveness, any resentment. I just want to encourage you right now where you're at just to say, I renounce in whatever it is. Whatever that you're struggling with that could be hindering you from stepping into what God is calling you to do. Lord, we break ties right now. The Lord is bringing to your memory specific people. Right now, Holy Spirit, show me that. If they're flashing in your mind, just release them and forgive them. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. Just a release of the Spirit this morning. Release of the Spirit. I hear chains breaking. Purity, humility, teachability, unity. No more division. No more backbiting. No more gossip and slander. Lord, we just bind that spirit out of this church and out of this city. Lord, I thank you that you're coming to deal with a critical, judgmental heart. I see some of you needing to make phone calls this week. Some of you needing to write letters. So, you know what? I've been holding a grudge. I've been hurt by you, and maybe you didn't even know it, and I'm just going to release you to the Lord. Tell some of you where the serpent bit you is your greatest place of anointing. Some of you, you had a bad experience in the things of God, and that right there is telling you where Satan attacked you is where you were destined to have the greatest anointing. Some of you have struggled with fear all your life. Why? Because your destiny is to be a man or woman of faith. Come on, he's here this morning. Just take a deep breath. Come on, just release it. Release them. Not going to operate out of hurt. I'm not going to blame them anymore. I'm going to take responsibility for my life and my actions. I'm going to grow up. Lord, we just break a victim mentality in this room. We say that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. Just hear the Lord saying, if it's in the past, why is it still affecting the present and the future? If it's in the past, why is it still affecting the present and the future? Say, today is a new day. Today is a day of new beginnings. So hear God saying, I'm going to teach you how to love again. Pagosa Springs, I'm going to teach you how to trust again. Just feel God touching you right now. I want you to stand to your feet. If you feel like there's some type of internal work going on, just stand. There's an anointing upon you right now. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, just begin to pray in tongues lightly. All we're doing is we're just inviting Holy Spirit in a focused way. Focus and concentrate on whatever God is stirring up in you. Lord, we prophesy healing right now. Come on, step into it, church. I don't know what you've been through, but he does. I don't know who hurt you, but he does. Just commune with him.
Spirit, break out. heaven come down, Spirit break out.
Come on, He works in you to work through you.
And break our walls down.
He's got to heal us inside.
Spirit break out.
Before we can heal other people, invite Him in you.
Heaven come down, Spirit break out, break our walls down, Spirit break out, heaven come.
Open up the altars this morning. I just can't emphasize how much our heart issues have the possibility or the capability of polluting and contaminating what God wants to do through us in the days ahead. And I'm just going to open up these altars. I know many of you know I've got to run to the airport and catch a flight. But I just believe that the Lord is opening up these altars. I want to even invite you down right now if you want to come forward, even if you're standing. And just come up here and meet with the Lord. I see some of you just burying a hatchet, burying a fence, forgiving leaders, those in authority, asking God to come and purify the inside of you. And I just speak the good plans of the Father. I speak balance over your life. I speak balance over Pagosa Springs. That this city will champion the Word and the Spirit, grace and truth, character and anointing. God, we ask that you would come and touch each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord. Let's sing this over our lives.